Today on Dog Pound Report, we break down newly signed Browns free agents. We'll cover the latest NFL headlines and check out one of the Browns players' unique off-season workouts. This is Dog Pound Report. Good morning and welcome to the Dog Pound Report, a show that will cover all Browns and NFL news leading up to the 2015 season. I'm Andy Baskin, and filling in for Nathan Zagura this week is our good friend Matt Wilhelm. Always a pleasure to be working with you.
It's great to be here, Andy.
All right, Matt, we're going to get to the Browns right out of the gate. We've already had some new additions to this team, and most of them have been on defense. But our first trending topic is good news for the wide receiving corps. The Browns now signed wide receiver Dwayne Bowe, who's been with the Chiefs the past eight seasons. He was a first-round pick in 07 when Ray Farmer was in the front office of the Chiefs, a Pro Bowler in 2010, second in Chiefs history in receptions, third in receiving yards. Matt, what does Dwayne Bowe bring to the table?
I think you immediately have a number one wide receiver. He's been that in Kansas City for the past 8 years. He's been highly productive in 2010, 2011. A little bit of a drop-off, but he brings that big body that we're going to miss this year in Josh Gordon. And I think what he's going to do, he's going to give either Josh McCown or Johnny Manziel, whoever is the quarterback, that big target now opposite Brian Hartline and Andrew Hawkins.
All right, Bo's a guy that had 15 touchdown receptions in 2010. Last year he didn't have any. You might look at that stat and say, whoa. But no Kansas City wide receiver had a touchdown catch last year. Might be one of the most odd stats I've ever read.
It definitely is, and I think it's more so about the scheme and the system there with Andy Reid and Alex Smith, more so than it is about Dwayne Bowe. Dwayne Bowe can prove that he can get in the end zone. He's made those plays over the course of time, and therefore he's going to do it. And I think he is that big target in the red zone that will make it happen for the Cleveland Browns.
Quickly, if Dwayne Bowe came to your team when you were playing, a veteran wide receiver, a guy with great acclaim, what would it mean to you?
You'd have to welcome him with open arms because you know what he means to your organization and the franchise, and especially the production on Sundays.
Speaking of guys that you played with, the Browns also picked up another one of those guys in defensive back Tremont Williams, your former teammate at Green Bay. But let's also talk about defensive lineman Randy Starks. Both these veterans bring a ton of experience to the team. You're talking about guys in their 30s.
They do. You know, Randy Starks, first and foremost, he meets a need significantly in the middle. That's been a void for this defense last year, ranking 32nd overall against the run. So we meet that need. Of course, we signed John Hughes this past week as well. So we're meeting that need in the middle to stop the run, protecting Carlos Dansby and Robertson at linebacker. I think it's a great upgrade for us.
Right, Matt, you're a guy that grew up here. Talking about Tremont Williams, we talked to him earlier this week. He said one of the reasons that he came here was because of the schools and the community. You're from here. What does that mean to you to have a free agent come to Cleveland that has embraced where we live?
It's great. You got to figure LeBron James came back to Cleveland to raise his kids here. In some cases, I've done the same. I could be living on the West Coast, but I'm here to be a part of this Cleveland community, raise my kids, and to know that a free agent who could have gone anywhere in the National Football League wanted to come to Cleveland simply to play for the Browns and to raise a family is a great thing.
All right, Matt, let's talk about some of the fun topics this week, especially in the NFL. The owners getting together to discuss rule changes for the 2015 season. Among those rule changes centered on the league's replay review system. The Lions proposed the expansion of replay to include reviews of all fouls identified by a game official. Every penalty, Matt, subject to review. You like it?
I don't, and I think a little bit because it's going to slow down our game, you know, and I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to football, and so I'm having to actually catch up now that I'm not in the game to what the rule changes are from week to week, year to year, and I'm surprised in some cases what is reviewed and what's not, and I think it almost gives the NFL head coaches too much power to manipulate the game. Every coach, every player has been burned at one point or another by a bad flag, and I think that's part of our game.
All right, one of the rule change proposals is to get rid of the red flag and make the teams just take a timeout. If the play is overturned, then you get your timeout back. But here's my proposal, and let me see what you think of this. If you want to challenge a play that a referee has called, why not just use that as a technically your red flag play? So you're gonna challenge a call, one call, though. That's it. You can't do it a ton of times. What do you think of that idea?
I like it because you have to be selective. And then in that case, it becomes more about your staff and the strategy rather than just throwing it out there and trying to win a play. So I don't mind that as long as it's one, and you have to be very selective and strategic as to when you use that.
All right, a couple other rule changes, and this is the fun one, I think, of the entire week. The Colts offered up a way for teams to come up with a possession that can score 9 points instead of the current maximum 8. Now, how would you do that? you would score a touchdown, and then you would convert your two-point conversion. Following the two-point conversion, you would go out and kick, 50, 40-yard, what would kind of be a field goal extra point, so you would get one more point. If the league needs one thing, they don't need more offense, and that's what that would provide.
It does, and it's no surprise that it came from the Indianapolis Colts. This is a team that couldn't stop anybody to defeat defensively, but tried to outscore you with Andrew Luck and that explosive offense. And so I think it's an outlandish, again, my traditionalist opinion is the fact that we need to stick with where it's at. The two-point conversion is enough. A three-point conversion just makes absolutely no sense for the game.
All right, I threw this out as a crazy idea. But what about on kickoffs, if the ball went through the upright on a kickoff, which would essentially give you the nine-point play, and then you would get the extra point on the kickoff? And why would I do this, and I'm not that crazy, to reduce the contact on kickoffs, because we know the league has been trying to make sure that guys don't get injured? Would this be a safety way to do it?
I don't think so, Andy. And a lot of the reason is because you're really not protecting the players. You're giving them another opportunity to have that big collision, that those kickoffs and kickoff returns. It's first why they outlawed the wedge. There's no longer, only two guys are allowed to be together, no more than two. And I think you would alleviate those collisions. And for the return side, you'd have to turn your back, but flip towards, the guys running down the field, trying to accept that block. Collisions would still happen, and he would not know whether the ball went through the uprights or not.
All right, Matt, great stuff, and I'm sure we'll be talking about this coming up down the road. When we come back, we'll talk more about your Cleveland Browns on the Dog Pound Report.
Coming up next, Tremont Williams brings his talents to Cleveland. We delve into the relationship of Carlos Dansby and Randy Starks, and we explore one of the most intense offseason workouts ever.
Welcome back to Dog Pound Report. Joining us is Rob Domowski from ESPN NFL Nation. Hey, thanks for coming on to speak with us, Rob.
Thanks for having me.
So we've got Tremont Williams coming to the Browns from the Packers. How big of a score is that for us here in Cleveland?
Well, I don't know if it's a huge score, but it's a big acquisition for them because he's a guy who is a dependable player. I mean, if you think about his career, since he first made the Packers roster in 2007 till last season, he played in 140 out of 141 games, only missing one game in his career. So this is a guy who the coaches can put out there knowing full well that he's going to be available game in, game out, down in, and down out. And really, he's a perfect cover guy, especially when you have a guy like Joe Hayden on the other side, because Tremont Williams has been a number one cover man his entire career. Now the chance to really be a number two guy where he doesn't have to cover the other team's top receiver on a down-in, down-out basis. It should benefit him and the team.
Does this fill the hole that Buster Skrin left after being picked up by the New York Jets?
See, I think it's a perfect opportunity for them to fill that loss because, again, it's a guy who played next to Joe Hayden, who's obviously one of the best in the business, and then you compliment him with a guy who's got solid cover skills, underrated athletic ability, really. Tremont Williams, he can jump out of the gym, as they'd say in basketball. So you throw a ball up in the air, and he's going to compete for it. I think they will not miss a beat going from Buster to Tremont.
All right, hey, Rob, you talked about Joe Hayden there for a second. With Tremont having Pro Bowl on his resume and the Browns stacked with some kind of Pro Bowl talent, is it possible we could see the entire secondary voted to the Pro Bowl next season?
Well, I don't know if Tremont's Pro Bowl years are in front of him. His best season, 2010, had 9 interceptions, including playoffs. If he gets 9 interceptions this year, he'll definitely go to the Pro Bowl. But I'm not sure that he's quite at the Pro Bowl level that he used to be. The Browns, hey, if they end up winning 12 or 13 games, and it's because of their secondary, you'll see a lot of guys in the Pro Bowl. But they've got to get to that next level first. But Tremont Williams certainly is going to be one of those solid guys that can help those other three Pro Bowlers that they have back there.
So on the field, Tremont appears to have this great work ethic. How does he fare off the field and in the locker room with his teammates?
He's one of the best. If you ask anybody that has covered him in the media, anybody that's played with him as a teammate, anybody that's coached him, they'll tell you that Tremont Williams is a true pro, a great personality, but not an overwhelming personality, a guy who's going to come in, do his job, not complain. The media will like him because he gives incredibly thoughtful answers. The fans will like him because he respects the game. And the coaches like him because he keeps his head down and does his job. And he brings that instant credibility. He's got a Super Bowl ring. He was a big part of the Super Bowl 45 team here in 2010. Had interceptions in the playoff games, game clinching interceptions. And that just brings an instant credibility when other players see the success that you've had in your career and with other teams. They respect that, and that's something that Tremont brings to the table.
Now, how does that Packer defense, which I was a part of there in Green Bay, differ from the Cleveland Brown defense?
Well, what the Packers do in their 3-4 defense, Dom Capers, he asks those cornerbacks to be out on an island an awful lot. He likes to blitz, probably more so than most teams do, and probably more so than the Browns do. So it puts a lot of stress on those corners. A lot of times they're in one-on-one coverage. They blitz from the safety position. They blitz from the linebacker position, which leaves those guys on their own, but this is a guy who can handle it. He's shown over the years that he can handle it, and I think he'll, even though he's played in basically the same defensive system for a long time, I think he'll be able to adapt to whatever the Browns want him to do.
Rob, what is on the Packers' radar in the upcoming owners' meetings in Arizona?
Well, their president, Mark Murphy, is one of the guys on the competition committee. That's the group that puts together those rules proposals. So they have a big influence in that. They may not necessarily have proposed any of these rules changes, but their president certainly has their best interest in mind when they're sitting at the table and talking over these proposals. As we all know, it takes 24 of the 32 teams to approve any rules changes, but they're definitely involved in the process by having a seat at the competition committee table.
Tell me a little bit more about what you have coming up this week on ESPN.com.
Well, we'll have full coverage of the owners' meetings from the Packers' perspective on ESPN.com. And also, we have 32 reporters covering the 32 teams for ESPN.com's NFL Nation. So we'll have all the news coming out of Phoenix at the owners' meetings.
Rob, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today.
And we've got more Dog Pound Report straight ahead. Coming up next, we delve into the Browns' star recruit, Randy Starks, and how the rest of the AFC is faring in free agency. Welcome back to Dog Pound Report, and joining us as he does each and every week is Andrew Gribble, senior writer for ClevelandBrowns.com. What do you got for us this week, Andrew?
Well, it was a busy week with three big free agent signings, but our best interview had to be with a Brown that fans grew to love last year, and that was Carlos Dansby. Our staff writer, Kevin Jones, talked with him on the phone about Randy Starks in particular. Now, this was an interesting situation. Randy Starks and Carlos Dansby used to play together with the Miami Dolphins. Carlos Dansby made the call right away to Ray Farmer after Randy Starks got released from Miami and said, "This is a guy, I don't know if he's in the mix for you guys, but he is a guy that you want on your defense. He's a big guy, can play multiple spots on the defensive line and fits the culture that this team wants to build." Then he makes a call to Randy Starks. He tells him, "Hey, Cleveland's a place you want to be. It's a place you want to end your career. It makes a lot of sense for you to be here, kind of take command of this defensive line room." And lo and behold, he signs on Tuesday.
What does that say about Carlos and trying to recruit guys to play here? You know, LeBron James does it for the Cavs right now. He didn't do it the first time. He does it this time. You've got a guy who's vested in this team, and he's trying to bring in some help.
And it's only taken 1 year, and really it probably took a little bit less because he was a really vocal leader from the beginning, and players really respect him. He's got a big voice. And, you know, I go back to what he said last year at this time. You know, when he was asked, "Hey, what would you do with this defense to make it better?" He simply said nothing. And we know that's kind of impossible in the NFL. Your players are going to come, players are going to go, but he has so much confidence in Mike Pettine, Jim O'Neill, their system, that he believes that just another year in the system with the same guys who believe it, who buy into the program, they'll be better, and the defense will be better off next season.
I think that says a lot about what's going on here in Cleveland. Andrew, I saw another piece that you wrote about the role that the defense is growing into. What is your story about that?
Yeah, you know, it's pretty simple. It was just an analysis of what do these two free agent signings mean for the defense going forward, and basically, especially in the secondary with Tremont Williams. You had a very good secondary last year, ranked number one in a number of pass ranking categories, and you lose Buster Skrine, but right away you get a veteran like Tremont Williams stepping right in, shouldn't miss a beat. And not only does that make the cornerback spot shored up, but look at what it does for Justin Gilbert, Pierre Desir. Gives them a little bit of a security blanket, but also it can ramp up their motivation and be like, "Hey, you can still get this spot if you can beat out this veteran." So I think it's good for the secondary that Tremont Williams came in. You don't necessarily haven't seen a replacement for Jabal Sheard yet. I think that's what you'll see upcoming in the draft. But a player like Randy Starks, you add him to the defensive line room, get him in with John John Hughes, other players who are recovering from major injuries, Phil Taylor, Armani Bryant. And suddenly, you look at a defensive line that was at the center of a run defense that was 32nd in the league. Suddenly, it doesn't look so bad. It looks like an encouraging part to build on. And clearly, the Browns aren't done to adding to the defense. That's where the draft comes in. But it's a very good start that we saw this week.
Andrew, with the free agents that Ray Farmer's brought in this week, guys 29, 30, 31, in that range, just your thoughts on that, because the way I see it is you're bringing in guys that know the NFL, know how to play this game, and can definitely instill just some of that. This is how we play football, and this is how we play winning football.
You know, and I think that it sends a message to the people that think the Browns are building towards seasons beyond. This team wants to win right now, and these are veterans that can help you win right now while also grooming and developing a lot of younger players. You know, the additions of three players who are over the age of 30, this team's going to have a little bit of a different feel to it from a locker room standpoint, but it's still relatively young. And I think that getting all those voices in the locker room, you're going to have guys lead by example in different styles. I don't see a problem with that. I think it's very good. These guys are on the tail end of their careers, but they want to go out strong. Look what Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner have done. They really haven't let up much either. And the Browns are firm believers that these players won't either.
Matt, you might be able to add to this too. Tre'Von Williams, I mean, he's played 8 years in this league. He's only missed the playoffs once. When you bring that Packer ideology of knowing that you're going to go to the playoffs every year, what does that mean? Because he's got it.
Sure, it absolutely. He rubs off on the other players, and it's an expectation that they have. I think it's a great fit, as you mentioned, Carlos Dansby, Dante Whitner. They didn't come here and expect to just lay down and receive a paycheck. They want to win, and they want the resurgence of Cleveland to be a part of their legacy and close their career here. And I could see Tre'Von Williams in his 3-year deal here with the Cleveland Browns doing the same.
And Carlos Dansby has always talked about how that loss in the Super Bowl to the Steelers stings with him. He lives with it every day. Tre'Von Williams, with the way his season ended last year, he's going to come in really motivated.
All right, you talked about that loss to the Steelers. Let's talk about the AFC North for a second in free agency. I mean, Haloti Ngata going to Detroit is probably the biggest name out of the AFC North. What's going on in the North in free agency?
Well, you know, it's very stable, and this is kind of reaffirming the message that Ray Farmer and Mike Pettine have said. You know, the key to rebuilding and getting a team at a good level, it doesn't start with free agency. You build through the draft, and that's what a lot of these teams have already done. So the moves were very minimal, but they were important. I think you look at the Bengals. They had a lot of cap room. They re-signed some players, Clint Bowling, Mike Nugent, Ray Maluga, and then they were able to add some pieces to their defense, A.J. Hawk, Mike Johnson. Suddenly their defense is looking a little bit better with that veteran presence, but they didn't make any big splash moves. You didn't see major headlines. You didn't see NFL Network going to Cincinnati to cover their free agency. Pittsburgh Steelers, their biggest move was extending Ben Roethlisberger. That's keep your own, make him happy. Now it looks like Roethlisberger is going to finish his career in Pittsburgh with little drama.
Andrew, what's on ClevelandBrowns.com right now? And I'm sure Dwayne Bowe has got to be right there.
Yeah, wall-to-wall coverage with Dwayne Bowe and any other free agents that may come through the door over the next few weeks. But really, we're going to start shifting our focus toward the draft, breaking it down by position, looking at all the mock drafts, and getting fans ready for all how the Browns will use all 10 of those picks.
All right, Andrew, thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrew. Love reading your stuff, man.
All right, good stuff, ClevelandBrowns.com. All right, the Dog Pound Report rolls on right after this.
Coming up next on Dog Pound Report, lifting weights doesn't cut it in the NFL. And our weekly predictions stay right here.
Welcome back, Dog Pound. The offseason in professional football, it's so easy, Matt, is it? You just go to the pool, you hang out, you listen to music, and just enjoy life.
It's what people think, but it's definitely not. It is a year-round job. And there was one Cleveland Brown who is taking things to a whole new level. Let's check it out.
All right, Matt, that is a crazy way to train. I'm sure you did it with Hot Wheels when you were a kid.
I never did. You know what? The most extreme thing that I ever did was, you see the tractor tires or monster truck tires. You think you're getting big, you're getting strong in the offseason, you get confident, you start getting out of your comfort zone, you start flipping those tires, but nothing like what Robert Nelson is doing.
Well, what's the sense in doing that, though? I watch that, and I'm like, man, this guy really wants to play for the Browns. He's doing some extreme training, but does it make sense? And would any trainer say, you know what, let's strap a car to our back and try to train that way?
Well, it's anything you can do to get uncomfortable. And in most cases, the 16-game season is very long. And right now, Robert Nelson wants to build up, you know, the waist down. He wants to build those muscles in his leg to be as fast and as physical as he can. And pulling and pushing heavy objects helps you do that.
What's the advantage to doing anything like that? Because I remember when you were at Ohio State, you guys would put parachutes on your back, you would run back and forth. What is the advantage to using kind of an inanimate object to try to turn things around?
Browns?
It's just all about developing speed. You know, developing those muscles in your lower half to be used to running or pulling or pushing something so that when you take it off, you accelerate. It's actually a part of combine training.
Interesting stuff. I don't think I'll be seeing people pushing smart cars around Northeast Ohio the way he's doing it. All right, finally, it's our weekly predictions where we tell you where we're convinced what is going to happen over the next week. Fire away. What do you got?
My prediction is, as the rules committee is meeting in Arizona, there's 53 guys on a roster, but only 45 can dress on the day of a game. And what I'd like to do, I'd like to expand that number, because there are times in a football season, even in a football game, where you get a multitude of injuries at one position and you have to like reshuffle those guys. So to have an additional number of guys on that roster, that means you can carry a third quarterback, which a lot of teams do not do, what I think would make the game better and actually a little bit safer.
All right, what would that do to the practice squad then? Would you keep the practice squad or not?
I'd keep it the same. That expansion is very good. It gives a team an opportunity to keep a player in their organization without having to release him so that he can be signed elsewhere. And he becomes part of their system. And when his time comes, he can get called up and go right back to the practice squad. But he's an asset for that organization.
Kind of like a little minor league. All right, I'm going to give you my bold prediction for the week. And the prediction is you are going to be great, Northeast Ohio, this week, because we've got the NCAA tournament coming here. We'll have the Sweet 16. We'll have the Elite Eight. It's really a great way to show what this city is all about. I know we've got the RNC coming up down the road, but this will be a true test of how great this city is, and there'll be so many outsiders in here, so many college basketball fans coming to the queue. Man, the atmosphere is outstanding. It's a little bit different than a Cavaliers game, and I love the fact we have this, and I know Cleveland's going to look great.
It is, and it's a great time to be a part of Northeast Ohio. The energy here and the growth here is spectacular.
All right, Matt, hey, thank you very much for being a part of it this week. Come back anytime.
I will try.
Make sure you listen to Matt and Nathan Zagura on Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850, and then I'll be right back here on News Channel 5 weeknights at 6 and 11, plus on 92.3 The Fan from 10 to 2, Baskin and Phelps. And make sure you tune in next week to Inside the Cleveland Browns and the Dog Pound Report for your chance to win Luke Bryan tickets. You have to watch to win, though. Have a great week, everybody. Everybody.